This is Brian Trumbore with your week in review for June 27th. Well, it's time for a first half review, the second quarter ending next week. And as former New York City Mayor Ed Koch said, "How am I doing?" Or to borrow from Ronald Reagan's farewell address, "Not bad, not bad at all." I noted the following on January 3rd of 2009. So what of 2009? Forgetting the usual caveats on geopolitical surprises, a major terror attack in the U.S., or a conflict over Iran, I do not see how you can make a claim, as so many are doing, that the economic recovery will begin in the second half, and just as importantly, be sustainable, yet. What was once all about housing and the wealth effect has evolved into housing and jobs, and the two then feeding into consumer and capital spending. The job picture is not going to be pretty for at least the first half of the year, while housing, which will bottom in April, though give me a month or two on this consistent forecast, then flatlines. There will be no V-shaped recovery in housing, not with inventory levels like we have today. At least lower mortgage rates for those who qualify could help keep the economy from tipping into depression through the ability to refinance, let alone buy a new home. This will remain a deep global recession, with pockets of rising unrest overseas helping to feed the doom and gloom, as it doesn't make for inspiring pictures on the nightly newscast. I continued back on January 3rd. The inauguration of Barack Obama, though, will supply some good feeling, and both Wall and Main Streets will initially like the stimulus program that he signed shortly after taking office. Let's face it, bulls are counting on stimulus packages around the world to get out of this crisis, and they have a point. I maintain China will be a leader in this vein, but again, to then draw a line and say beginning in the second half it's oh happy days doesn't strike me as being rational given the many facets of the crisis that make this also historic. The behavior of the stock market, though, is a far different story. More on this in a bit. I continued on January 3rd. This is an unprecedented financial calamity, though far different from the Great Depression because we live in a totally different world, that is cut to the core of household wealth across the globe. Thanks to the fact a bunch of dirtballs on Wall Street played a large role in generating the mess, particularly the resultant credit crunch that has frozen lending, you now have a severe loss of confidence that the rules of the game are fair, that the playing field is even. This isn't repaired overnight, let alone 1 year. But it is an area where the likes of Barack Obama can have a most positive impact. It's a time crying for leadership, and we pray a few emerge to write their own chapters, a la Winston Churchill or Abraham Lincoln, where school children 100 years from now are taught now this was a great man or woman. I continued January 3rd of 2009. A few other points. Any stimulus programs are going to be running up against not only the problems discussed above, but the coming blow-ups in commercial real estate. The government's inability to administer its own bailout program, as admitted this week. Credit card debts that are yet another shoe to drop, especially for the likes of Citi, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and American Express. The Treasury's massive funding requirements as the federal and budget deficits soar. Severe financial stress at the state and municipal level. And the possibility of trade wars, despite the talk from government heads that the world will act responsibly, even as the people cry out to protect their own interests. Couple this with the usual hotspots, and you have to wonder if Barack Obama truly understands what he's getting into. So that's what I wrote back on January 3rd and speaking about the 2009 forecast, and there's very little in the preceding that I would change today. Many would now say the stimulus program leaves a lot to be desired. Others, however, would continue to say just give it time. On two other issues, I am not as concerned with the impact of commercial real estate as I had been. While thus far there has been little domestic unrest due to the financial crisis, which is rather remarkable. Though I hasten to add, I predicted in the same January 3rd, 2009 column that China would not have widespread issues on this front, and I was correct in saying it would be a leader when it came to administering stimulus programs. I also can't help but note that even President Obama himself has admitted he didn't realize the extent of the problems he faced. As for my comments on equities back in January, I wrote then, "For over 2 years I have maintained a model of 80% cash, 20% equities as the best way to beat the performance of the benchmark S&P 500. or at least approach it and still be able to sleep at night. And I've obviously handily done so over that time, but then I missed badly on how far the market would fall last year. Anyway, I've been hinting the past few months I would turn more bullish despite the economy, and I'm raising my split to 50% cash, 50% stocks, and I could raise it further still depending on what I see over the first quarter. In terms of returns, I'm even more bullish. The Dow and S&P will rise 20%, while NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 will advance 30%. Again, continuing with what I was writing on January 3rd of 2009. Now, you might be thinking I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm not. The fact I haven't moved my equity allocation to more than 50% is simply a reflection of the still dreadful economic news. The 20 to 30% return numbers are a guess on where we end up in December. I remain a doom and gloomer on the economy, but I've always said stocks trade more on sentiment than fundamentals, most of the time. I've given these issues a lot of thought, and I know I've been highly critical of those calling a bottom in the economy, as I reiterated earlier, when I see zero hard evidence to warrant this. But when I do see some positive signs, such as in better figures on industrial production or retail sales anywhere in the world, I'll turn quickly when it comes to the big picture. So again, that was 6 months ago. And I wouldn't change a thing. I pride myself on my consistency, and if nothing else, that's what you get. I do just have to reiterate that in the case of my projected equity returns, this year hasn't gone anywhere like I thought it would, but it's the year-end target that still matters, up 20 to 30%. Heck, NASDAQ is all still up 16.6%. I can easily see us treading water for months from current levels, but at some point in the not-too-distant future, we will get some actual good economic news, not just less bad. And if you thought the rally off the March 9 lows was powerful, you ain't seen nothing yet. Maybe we don't see this until October, which would be appropriate since that month is known historically for major bottoms, though we won't get anywhere near the 676 closing low on the S&P 500 from March 9 of this year. The actual bottom is in, as I said shortly thereafter. Oh, I know, the savings rate is soaring, consumer spending will remain punk, and job losses will get worse before they get better. But barring something unforeseen, and I view an Israeli attack on Iran as foreseen, while Santa Claus may not be leaving many packages under the tree this year, at least around January 10, when most investors receive their year-end statements, they'll notice Santa deposited something more precious to a lot of you, a positive surprise for ye old portfolio. Continuing, it remains all about housing and jobs. On the labor front, I said about 2 months ago the unemployment rate will not hit 10%. Looks like I could miss this, perhaps badly, but I don't change the prediction to then say I told you so after the fact. One should just admit mistakes and move on. But I'm holding out hope I could yet be right. On housing, I went back as much as I could through my archives. Goodness gracious, there's a lot there. And on August 16th of 08, I wrote of real estate, when we bottom, and that will happen over the next year, which is the first time I've actually gone this far, we'll just sit there. No V-shaped recovery. November 29th of last year, I said housing nationwide will bottom next April. Of course, you won't know this for a while as it's happening, and the decline before then over the next 5 months could be severe, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I also hasten to add that I'm sticking with my theory that once a bottom is reached, we just sit there for a while. Well, as you can see from those two notes, I then tweaked the timing a bit at the end of the year, but have consistently said no V-shaped recovery. So whether I nail the bottom as April or May, April is out at this point, remember I'm talking median home price nationwide. It's the only way to measure it, and I'll frankly be very surprised if I'm off by more than 5 to 7%. Regardless, as one who wrote the best single statement on housing of anyone, period, back on April 2nd of 2005, I'm not going to beat myself up if I'm off some at this point. To refresh your memory, I wrote back in April of 2005, remember, the bubble isn't just a U.S. story, it's global, whether we're talking Britain, Spain, Australia, or China. This week, incidentally, there were growing signs that despite 11.5% unemployment and a state budget crisis of mammoth proportions, the California housing market has bottomed, as the median price rose in May for a third straight month. This as nationally, the median price did fall to $173,000, the lowest mark since February of 2005. One semi-bright spot on the foreclosure front, 33% of existing home sales in May were sold as foreclosures or distressed properties, which is, believe it or not, down from earlier 40 to 50% levels. On other topics, inflation, looking ahead, I have consistently said this is not an issue. I also am not going to play games and say, well, we all know the prices of energy and healthcare are going up and your property taxes continue to rise. How can you say there is no inflation? Because that is picking and choosing your data points to suit your case. I've always just gone off the official government figures. Ergo, there is not only no inflation, with a punk labor market, putrid wages, and zero pricing power, you can't convince me I should be sleeping with one eye open in order to ward off the inflation bogeyman. When I see wages start to rise, I'll become concerned. Now, if you want to discuss rising healthcare costs or property taxes in the context of the consumer and the economy, that's a totally different matter. As for the dollar, ditto, this is not a concern. Oh, sure, you'll continue to have statements from the likes of Russia and China calling for an alternative, but get serious. While there will be some diversification out of the greenback, the amounts will be relatively small. In case you haven't noticed, we're in the midst of a global financial crisis, so it's not as if the U.S. is in deep recession and Europe is rocking and rolling, so everyone is going to then pile into the euro. And it's also not as if the Saudis and the Chinese and the Russians are going to take their reserves and come up with a new currency called the Riruyuan, which I need to copyright, by the way, or an IMF-based one, as China has been calling for. Again, will we see swings in the dollar? Of course. The dollar in free fall? No, at least not any time the rest of 2009. The only possible way this scenario changes is if China, for whatever reason, decides to stick it to the United States even as it recognizes its own economy would thus feel pain. This is why you watch the trade front closely. There is more protectionism taking place than is hitting the headlines these days, especially from China, and that's not good. But we also haven't had a full-blown trade war. I do not, however, dismiss the possibility we could yet see one, and that would then change my dollar forecast. So my bottom line is the U.S. economy is bottomed. We've yet to see any real good news, though it's coming, and stocks will finish the year strong. But the consumer, witnessed the news on Friday that the savings rate hit a 15-year high of 6.9%, is holding back in a big way. Assuming one has a job, that means you're repairing the balance sheet. Good. Assuming you don't have a job, you're just trying to survive, and that's troublesome. Stocks finished the week mixed, with the Dow Jones losing 1.2% to close at 84.38, and the S&P gave up 0.3%, but NASDAQ tacked on 0.5% to close at 18.38. And just a note on Michael Jackson. In another column of mine, Bar Chat, I noted this week the 40th anniversary of the death of entertainer Judy Garland, which proved to be rather timely, given the sudden passing of Michael Jackson, yet another troubled star. For you younger folks, Garland was also a giant of the stage who had major drug issues. And I'll discuss Jackson in some detail in my Bar Chat column coming up this Monday. But just a few thoughts. It was a shame Farrah Fawcett got knocked off the front page. But as for Michael, I loved his work with the Jackson 5 as well as his initial solo efforts, and last year while tossing a bunch of old LPs, I knew enough to save my copy of Thriller. But one thing that struck me in my travels around the world the past 10 years was how big a figure he was overseas. In more than a few pubs, his name would work itself into the conversation. Granted, not always for the best reasons. But in the end, the other guy I was just talking to always fell back on Jackson's music. The New York Post editorialized whether ultimately he was as pioneering a musician as such rock legends as Elvis Presley and John Lennon will be for rock historians to debate. But there is no doubting that once upon a time no star shone as brightly as Michael Jackson. That was the New York Post. Jackson does indeed stand with the giants of his industry. That's not up to debate. And yes, he was a bridge between black and white. At his best, he was a genius. At his worst, however, he was a freak. It's unfortunate his legions of fans didn't get to see one last show in London. That's all for now. I'll be with you on Saturday, July 4th, hopefully. Have a great week.